You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our series today in Prepared with a Reason. I'm excited because we get to look at another topic within this series. Today, we're going to take a look at another word. We've been using big words, but this one I think people might actually know, anthropology. We're going to dig into that in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Pete Jerkin. He's Assistant Professor of Lutheran Education and Faith Formation at Concordia University, Nebraska. And he's written on the topic of anthropology in this series and the resource from Concordia Publishing House, Prepared with a Reason. Dr. Jerkin, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's been a while since we chatted. I think last time we chatted, it might have been prior to you coming to Concordia University. Is that right?
Yeah, I was still working at Concordia Publishing House as a developing editor. And that's kind of the same time I wrote this resource. So now I'm in a new role here at your Concordia University, Nebraska. I say that for because we belong to everyone and we support the work of the church. My role is assistant professor of Lutheran education and faith formation. So I teach some classes in regards to faith formation and teaching the faith. My main role is helping to support faculty and staff with their ongoing faith formation and understanding the intersection of the Christian faith and their professional practice. So a lot of cool opportunities here.
What did you enjoy about what you got to do at Concordia Publishing House and being involved with curriculum like Prepared with a Reason?
Oh, yeah. No, it was an amazing time. And I was honestly, truly blessed to have that opportunity for almost 8 years working at CPH as a developing editor, where I really got to develop products, create frameworks for products, write products, a lot of writing and thinking and working with a wonderful team there with curriculum, but also books and things like that. And so when this project kind of came across our desk, it was a neat opportunity to kind of delve into this and help equip and resource the church with kind of food for thought and ideas for facing these cultural issues. So even though it was a few years back when I worked on this, it was a real pleasure to work with that, work with Mark and Lisa Krenz and the whole team at CPH, and actually get to do some writing beyond just kind of helping to put the framework together.
And you wrote about anthropology. So let's talk about what that means. What is anthropology?
So the actual textbook definition from dictionary definition, anthropology is the science of human beings, especially the study of human beings and their ancestors through time and space and in relation to physical character, environmental and social relations, and culture.
Okay.
So the study of humans and human society.
Humans and human society, that like the history of humans, mm-hmm. things like that. Okay.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Culture through time and my work, I'm a pastor. So humans and human nature and history is a very important part of ministry as a pastor, but also as a professor with degrees in education. My doctoral work was in adult learning theory. And so it's interesting to think about adults and how adults learn and how that process has changed over time. And how we deal with adults at the intersection of, being God's special creation and also being corrupted. Simul justus et peccator, right? Both sinner and saint at the same time as God's people. And how we kind of understand humans and human society kind of in this world that's waiting for the return of Jesus. And there's a lot to unpack there. But how do we help God's people and help people throughout the church and the world navigate life in this world, especially with so many different competing ideas of who we are and why we're here and where we're going.
So as a pastor and an educator, anthropology interests you because you actually work with humans. That's important.
Well, and the reality is that we all work with humans and we work among humans because we are human. Right? And I think one of the things that we really tried to do with this Prepared with a Reason curriculum is we can't address all the issues. And your speakers, I'm glad they're all on. They're all smarter than I am. But one of the things that they're all going to talk about is these are huge issues, but we can't address all of that. But can we just give people some basic understandings of the assumptions and the ideas that are out there in society instead of just passively receiving them and absorbing them and accepting them? How do we as Christians, as God's people saved through Jesus Christ, how do we properly navigate that, understand that, look at these ideas through a Christian lens and say, is that really true? Or what does the Bible say about that? And so, yeah, but especially as people living in this world, yeah, I'm interested in humans. I mean, you guys do a radio show. You're interested in humans too. And so I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. We like talking to people about what they do and who they are. So yep. Very relevant. All of these things. So let's lay some groundwork of some secular assumptions. What are some common secular assumptions of the origin and history of humans?
Sure. In the Prepared with a Reason curriculum, each one of the topics, we kind of could only really tackle maybe three, maybe four popular assumptions out there that even if people don't actually mentally consent to them to say, like, this is really what I believe, they're out there, they're in the air, they're in the ether, they're in the culture, and we need just to be aware of them. So the first one we addressed with this particular topic was the assumption that humans are simply the result of evolution and are not fundamentally different from other animals. I think that's a big one that's out there. Even if people don't say they believe in evolution, which I think a lot of people do in one way or the other, they at least kind of think, well, humans are just another class of animal. We're fundamentally no different than the rest of the animal world out there, you know, guided by our feelings and our instincts. And that's just not true from a biblical standpoint. We need to begin with this belief that humans are fundamentally special creation. They are God's special creatures, made with a special dignity. Yes, we're part of this creation. We are a part of this creation with the rest of the animals and the like, but we're not the same. We are different. We're special. We're set aside. We're set apart. And so we have a special kind of dignity and role and purpose. We're not just accidents of the universe. We don't happen to be just, you know, the same as everything else. We are special. And that's important for Christians to hold up and teach and really highlight in what we can share with each other and share with the world.
So even if one doesn't claim to believe or hold a worldview such as evolution and the origin of humans being from the Big Bang and evolving over millions and millions of years, even if someone doesn't claim that as their belief or their worldview, what I hear you saying is that still shapes, because it exists in our society, in our culture, it still shapes what we think and what we believe about a number of things. Any other thoughts or examples on that idea?
I think it's just something to be, you know, aware of. I'm with you, Andy. I don't have any extra thoughts, but I think, like you said, the main thing is if it's just out there, we can't just ignore it. We need to not only think about what these worldviews actually teach, we need to be mindful of what they influence as well in our own minds, in our lives, and how we think of humanity in general.
So evolution is one. I know there's a couple other big topics covered in these assumptions. What are some of the other assumptions?
Yeah. So the second one we addressed in this is the assumption that human identity is primarily defined by individual sexual preference and orientation. And I know this was kind of a shocker, I think, to a lot of Christians just a few years ago when all of a sudden it seemed like in popular culture, the idea that, you know, sexual orientation, sexual preference was the defining character of human identity. And for many Christians, it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. But this has been around for a long time, kind of in the air, in our media, in the music we listen to, in the movies we watch, just in the culture in general. This has been around. And I think as Christians, we need to take a second and stop and say, maybe the Bible gives a different view, a different picture, a more accurate picture to reality, but also just a better picture of what defines us as humans. Maybe sexual preference orientation is not the defining factor. Maybe that's based on some of the other kind of assumptions that, you know, maybe we're all just no different than the animals, right? We're not just the same as the rest of the animal kingdom. We have a special purpose, dignity in the world, and we are not simply defined by our lusts or our feelings or our loves. We are actually defined by God's word. And we have a purpose and identity, especially as Christians in Jesus Christ, that is greater than the rest of these things. So we just need to be aware of that, especially in the stuff we consume. It's so easy, especially for young people who consume so much media and social media and adults as well, as we kind of walk alongside them, to just kind of start, if not consciously, subconsciously, kind of believing this as well. Our sexual orientation, preference, or that sort of thing should not be the primary way we think about who we are as humans.
We're going to talk more with Dr. Jerkin in just a moment as we take a look at this series, Prepared with a Reason. We're going to talk more about anthropology and the origin of humans and different worldviews on that and how that shapes, influences what we think and what we believe in everyday conversations as well. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's 6 church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our series, Prepared with a Reason, taking a look at the resources from Concordia Publishing House. There is a leader's guide as well as materials for adults, young adults, and high school students to help us look at these topics. And today the topic is anthropology, probably the one big word in this series that most of us know, anthropology. We're taking a look at the study of humans and human culture and the history and origin of humans and some secular worldviews on that. And there are some assumptions that come with that as well. We've been talking about some of those assumptions. Why does the origin and the history of humans matter when it, you know, we've been talking about this worldview of evolution or identity? Why does it matter that we have an understanding of the origin and history of humans?
Well, like we were talking about before, Andy, we're humans. It matters a lot just because, you know, this is just fundamental to who we are as God's creatures. It's interesting from our Lutheran tradition, too, when you look at the way that Martin Luther rearranged the 6 chief parts of the catechism, and he kind of rearranged the catechism based on what he was taught. He started with the 10 commandments because the fundamental question that everyone was asking and the fundamental groundwork for kind of understanding who we are and why we're here begins with understanding God's design for his human creatures. That's the 10 commandments. And so I think just on a fundamental level, we like to think of ourselves as these kind of rationalistic creatures that, you know, are thinking about big thoughts all the time. But at the base level, God designed us to be part of this creation. He designed us to be humans and embody this world. And so I think the pressing issue of where we come from and who we are and where we're going, honestly, whether or not we admit it, is the fundamental groundwork, the fundamental foundation for all our inquiry and the pursuit of truth. So this matters to all of us, I think, whether or not we want to admit it. It matters to us a lot.
How do we properly place our identity then in the midst of all of these secular assumptions? Because we may know that what secular culture is telling us isn't right. How do we then place our identity where it should be placed in God's word?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. I mean, it's always a struggle. We are fallen human creatures. This is something that I teach here in my faith formation classes at Concordia University in Nebraska, a way for us to think about this and understanding creation is we got to live in this tension. On one hand, we understand that God created this world, which includes humans, to be good. And that's good. So we can't deny the goodness of creation fundamentally. At the same time, creation is corrupted. That's the fall into sin. So these two things are both true at the same time. Creation, God designed it to be good, and we shouldn't deny creation. We're meant to live in this world. At the same time, creation since the fall has been corrupted. And we live in the tension of these two realities. They don't contradict each other. They're just both true at the same time. But to your answer, Sarah, is in these tensions, these core tensions of our Lutheran tradition, we find our peace in the midst of this tension, in all of them, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's where we can find our peace, that God did not abandon us to this world. He sent Jesus to die for us, to rise again for us, to give us new life. And at the same time, Jesus is returning in glory to restore all things. And so until that day, we live in this tension of living in this creation and not denying this creation and not abandoning this creation at the same time, understanding that this creation is corrupted and we have to navigate the temptations of the devil and the world and our sinful flesh as we try to figure out how to live faithfully.
I understand that part of the origin of this series, Prepared with a Reason, came from a conversation thinking about our students who are going off to university, college age. And you get to work on a university campus. Unfortunately, at Concordia University, I'm sure that the primary worldview is that of a world created by a loving creator, by God, that was designed and created by Him. But what do you want that student, that high school student who is preparing to go off to university in the next year, maybe not necessarily going to a university that shares that worldview, what do you want them to know about what they're going to likely encounter in the classroom, in the conversations and the worldviews that they're going to face when they walk onto campus next fall, a year from now, or the students who are walking onto campus right now, who are in their first semester and all kinds of questions coming at them. What do you want them to know? Yeah.
We're super blessed at Concordia University, Nebraska, with, Christian faculty and staff. I mean, all our faculty are Christians. 90%, almost 90% of faculty are coming from a Lutheran background, a Lutheran tradition. This is just a wonderful opportunity we have here. But even so, coming into this environment that is this Christ-centered community shaped by our Lutheran theology, even that we realize that you can't escape the influences of the world, even within a Christian community like this. So the thing I encourage students here to do, which is the same thing I'd encourage students everywhere to take seriously, is to get yourself connected to places where you receive God's gifts. Go to church, go to the divine service, go to communities that will support you and uphold you, join Bible studies, get into the habit of regular Bible reading. These are things I encourage the students here to do, and that's the same thing I'd say to everyone else. If you're in this world, you're not going to be able to escape these influences and assumptions. There's no way to escape them, especially through media. But regardless, the devil's not going to stop his temptations and stop his assaults, even if you come to a Christian campus where everything we teach is in line with God's word. The devil's not going to stop. So I encourage everyone, stay connected to the Bible, stay connected to the community, make friends, spend time with them, find people who genuinely care about you within that Christian community, join with them, eat with them, learn from them. Stay in your regular Bible reading. Have accountability partners, right? This is get connected to the church and stay connected to the church.
This curriculum is also, it starts in high school when hopefully these young people are still in their families. How can this be used? How can parents help their high schoolers work through these kinds of big questions as they're preparing for that next step?
Yeah. So this curriculum included kind of three parts when it came to us, and we were kind of developing them. Kind of set the tone for this curriculum. For the high schoolers, we tackle these assumptions and take a look at them, kind of what you're seeing in the world around you as high schoolers. And then there's a kind of a young adult college age version, which goes more into like the terms, unpacking that more. The adult version with this, though, is really kind of aimed at, tackling the same assumptions, but how do you help lead and guide your household through this? So first of all, as heads of household, know what's going on out there. You got to be paying attention to the kinds of messages that students are receiving, that your kids are receiving. This does not mean that you have to do a deep dive into culture. There's no way. I mean, I'm a parent. I've got five kids. My oldest is in high school. There's no way I know all the things she hears or sees or reads. But being generally aware of the trends and topics, and sometimes that just comes from just having conversations with your kids. Like, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you learning? Being aware of those things and having those open conversations. And you as adults too, take a look at curriculum, stuff like Prepared with a Reason. This is kind of designed for you. Heads of congregations, and I encourage you, do a study with your adults through this and take some time to kind of equip your adult leaders and parents and heads of household to have these conversations. it's not going to be everything, right? With this curriculum, we can't, in seven topics, you know, cover all the worldview issues. That, and it wasn't designed to be that, but to just have a general idea of these big things that are out there in culture and just how they compare and contrast with what Scripture says, and just some basic thoughts and talking points to address and work through these things. Even if it's just that, congregations, if you can find a way to get these resources not only into the hands of parents, but actually talk them through with parents and put that special emphasis there, I'd highly encourage that.
Now, I know it's been a little bit since you did your research and work to prepare this lesson, this material for Prepared with a Reason. But let's go back a couple of years and your work on this. What did you learn or what did you enjoy about preparing this topic for Prepared with a Reason?
You know, I'm a curriculum designer by practice. I'm an educator. I like to put frameworks on things. It's just kind of what I do. It's my nerdy niche, I guess. I like to look at things and put them into a structure. One thing that I found really interesting through this process, though, was taking this kind of assumptions approach. It was very useful. My encouragement to everyone who's hearing this is, you know, you're going through all these huge topics. I mean, axiology. I mean, all these things. I mean, this is massive, massive stuff. And very, very smart people dedicate their entire lives to unraveling one tiny corner of one of these things. You don't need to know everything. And one of the things I learned from this is you don't need to learn everything. You don't need to know everything. But it is valuable to look out there and see the sorts of things, trends, and big ideas that are out there in culture. And the people who make these cultural artifacts and make these cultural messages, the kinds of things they just kind of assume everyone takes for granted, you know? But, well, of course, like in this case, of course, you know, everyone is kind of primarily defined by their sexual orientation. Of course, that's the number one thing that defines you. It's our opportunity as Christians and just as humans living in this world to say, stop and say, hey, wait a second. Is that true? Should that be the thing that primarily defines us? I don't think so. Oh, wait a second. Maybe we're all just kind of being fed some of these things and the world and the culture just assumes to be true. And so instead of just passively taking that on, let's just take a critical, not a cynical look, right? But a critical look at what's going on around us and see what we're being fed and really measure that up against God's word.
Prepared with a Reason. You can find it from Concordia Publishing House. Take a look at that third topic, anthropology. I enjoyed digging into this today with you, Dr. Durkin. Thanks for being our guest and being a part of this series on the Coffee Hour.
That's an honor.
The Reverend Dr. Pete Durkin, Assistant Professor of Lutheran Education and Faith Formation at Concordia University, Nebraska, and he's also written this unit on anthropology and Prepared with a Reason. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.